Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carling, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by VBS Radio, its staff or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information that I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarling.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune disease, seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself, for we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the bbsradio.com website, Station 2, and include the following. Toll-free USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. Toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype at bbsradio, or PalTalk at bbsradio_com. Every week I will answer the question, What's Ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good, when they are actually inoculations with disease and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. It is time for everyone with a conscience to realize that if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it. The question is, how far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? Do not be afraid, for the truth shall set us free. And as the weak-willed puppets of darkness are being made visible to the public eye through shows such as this, the once feeble calls for cease and desist are becoming the roaring outcry, which will bring about the evolution of consciousness necessary to change everything. The next step in human evolution is to take responsibility for our lives and those in our care, to live in a sacred way, to do unto others and to our earth as we would want done to ourselves. So please spread the word about these broadcasts, and remember, we are not only responsible for what we do, but also for what we don't do, as Voltaire said. And as Albert Einstein said, the world is a dangerous place, not so much because of those who do evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing. And as I mentioned on last week's show, I now have a sponsor for my show. It's the American's Bulletin, which is one of the last bastions of a non-controlled, non-corporate press. Recent issues have carried articles on the planned use of water as a weapon of mass destruction, the true purpose behind the Social Security number, whether or not taxes are legal, how the financial system has been tweaked to make you a slave of the state, and what you can do about it. Alternative health, the vaccination issue, and a whole lot more are also covered. You can subscribe to the Americans Bulletin by visiting the website americansbulletin.com or by calling 541-773-2756. The Americans Bulletin, because you need to know the truth. Only $40 a year, 6 issues a year. It's the First Amendment Forum for free-thinking people. And I'm also very pleased to announce that starting next Wednesday, February 13th, I will also be on another internet radio station. I'm going to be staying on BBS Radio, but I'm adding another station because there's so many people that are hungry for this information. So starting next Wednesday and every Wednesday afterwards from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be on republicbroadcasting.org. And this will be a two-hour show, so we will have even more time to discuss with our guests the very important information that you all need to know to regain and maintain your health and also to protect yourself from the mad scientists that are doing more and more mad things every day. And before I bring tonight's guest on, I just want to mention an article that was in the paper here in Charlotte, North Carolina, on February 7th. Basically, the title is $170 billion for the wars, a Defense Secretary Gates says, is actually over and above what they need, according to their defense budget. In other words, they're going to be needing $515 billion, with a B, dollars for the war next year. And this is $170 billion over and above what they had budgeted. So I wonder if you people are starting to get upset about this, as all of these talking heads are discussing on the boob tube, telling lies to our vision, you know, how important it is for us to maintain our security. You know, just imagine what we could be doing with that money besides killing people and making companies like Halliburton rich. It's really quite disgusting. But getting to our guest tonight, I'm very happy to bring on our guest by the name of Chris Barr. So the name of our show tonight is going to be What's Ailing America, Medicine, and an Attempt to Bury the Work of Antoine Bachamp. I have known Chris for many years. He is one of the most knowledgeable people in the field of nutrition that I've ever met. We were on another radio station together for a few years. Unfortunately, that radio station's gone pretty much commercial, but Chris continues to do radio shows himself every day. And I'm going to let him give you that information. And he also does a column for a newspaper called The Crusader, which I'll have him tell you how you can get access to. But his columns are just fantastic, and we're going to be discussing some of those tonight. But I also want to just mention that Chris has a booklet on chromium, which is outstanding. It's called Chromium, the Sparkling Health for Your Life and Living. And I recommend this to all my clients because, as we're going to discuss tonight, chromium is one of the most important nutritional compounds that we could possibly be taking, as it's been removed from the food supply and is very much responsible for many chronic diseases, including non-insulin-dependent diabetes. And I could not encourage you more to get a copy of Chris's pamphlet. It's a little booklet on chromium, to educate yourself and to educate your white coat, because I can assure you that this man knows more about most of these supplements than any possible white coat could ever know, because they don't teach us this in medical school. So are you there, Chris?
I am here, Dr. Carlin.
Thank you so much for joining us. And before we get into some specific issues, because I've been reading some of your articles that you've written over the last couple of weeks. They're so outstanding. We could talk for hours on these subjects. But one thing I did want to have you educate our listeners about is Ionic versus whole food supplements, because we've had other people on the show that have said that in their opinion, supplements really must be Ionic in order to be properly absorbed. I myself have been taking supplements that you recommend, made by Innate Formulas, or Innate Response is the name of the company, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Right, and these are fantastic, and I know that I'm getting excellent results. So could you please share with our listeners what is your opinion on what the best type of supplements should be?
Well, these bodies that are so fearfully and wonderfully made are designed to run off of food that is protein, carbohydrate, lipid, or what's more commonly called fats. And the nutrients therein, as well as many accessories that seldom get discussed. So when you're discussing nutrition, if you're looking at it from a whole body and from a wholesome concept, even wholly, if I may be so bold, and you can spell that H-O-L-Y or W-H-O-L-L-Y, whichever you prefer, we really must look at the difference between the way that nutrients are formed by the Creator as opposed to those that are created by man, or not created, because man doesn't really create anything. He just recreates, or recreation is what's really tearing down this nation, is infatuation with recreation.
Uh-huh.
So, in fact, if you look at nutrients under an electron microscope magnification of 100,000, and compare that to the form that they are made by man, they don't even look the same at all. And frankly, there is a difference, and your body knows the difference between nutrients created by the Almighty versus all the rest that pass for nutrition made by man, which is almost all the rest. There are very few actual whole food nutrients. So there's a lot of talk amongst all the man-made varieties over which one is best, and Ionic does have an advantage over many of the other man-made and created or recreated varieties, but they don't even compare when it comes to whole food nutrition, which can only be made by the Almighty. Man can't even duplicate. When you look at them under an electron microscope, if you look at nuclear magnetic resonance imaging, you know, there are any variety of ways you can compare the forms. And I guess the easiest way for the layman to understand it, if you look at an electron microscope of a whole food nutrient, they're tiny little smooth cylindrical balls. And the same nutrient, or so-called nutrient, as I prefer to note them, made by man, appears in large, misshapen, rectangular boulders. So the simple question I ask is, what do you think is easier to get into your cells and for your cells to utilize? Very small, smooth, cylindrical balls, or large, rectangular, misshapen boulders?
Obviously the balls.
Very small and smooth, not tearing up the cell structures over time.
Yes. That makes perfect sense, and I totally agree with what you're saying. Anytime that we can get nutrition in the form that it was created by the Creator, it makes perfect sense that that's the way we should do so. So before we proceed, could you tell the listeners, Chris, how can they get your booklet? The supplements that you recommend, because these cannot be purchased in a health food store, you have to go through a distributor. We'll start with that, and then I want you to also tell them about how they can get your articles and how they can listen to your radio show.
Boy, I started to talk there, and a frog jumped in my throat. That probably the easiest way. I mean, they can get things from me, but I'm so busy and hard to catch these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably easiest to go through the website healthtruthrevealed.com, which is where they can find out about the Crusader newspaper, which features much of my writing. My book is able to be purchased through them, and that's probably the easiest way for your listeners to make contact with getting my book. Supplements, again, they can get through me or they can go through healthtruthrevealed.com.
Okay, but you would prefer for them to go through healthtruthrevealed.com? Because I know you're very busy.
Well, I just offer that for ease.
Okay.
They can send an email to notadoc@notadoc.org.
Okay.
And request order information. That will go directly to me, and that's probably the easiest way, since my phone is constantly busy, or my answering machine is full from all the responses that I get now. I just can't even keep up with them. So, notadoc@notadoc.org.
Okay.
Is an email they can reach me easily through.
Great. And, of course, that's very good news that you're getting so busy because the supplements that you suggest to people, of course, Chris doesn't practice medicine either. That's why he's not a doc. I wish I could say that. That's becoming, you know, a badge of honor to not be a doc. But, you know, as you know, I've
Well, Dr. Carley, you are an honorable, not you are an honorary not a doc.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, actually, one of my clients told me once that I was a real doctor, and that was one of the highest compliments I've ever been paid. But I cannot strongly enough suggest these supplements that Chris has told me about and that I've been taking for years. They are just outstanding, fantastic supplements, and I want to talk about some of them now. So I highly encourage you to check these out, folks, because unfortunately, the food that we're eating today, even if we have an organic store near us and we have access to organic foods, of course, there's all kinds of shipping delays involved in getting the foods to the stores and things of that nature. So it's so important for you to supplement your diet, no matter how good it is, with certain nutritional supplements. And I highly suggest that you check out these innate response formulations because they are fantastic. But the first article that you had written, Chris, that I would like to talk about is this unbelievable, very short but sweet little article you wrote in response to First Lady Laura Bush's, you know, little spiel that she gave where she's, you know, promoting heart health. February is American Heart Month. I love how we have all these months to celebrate different organs and diseases. But what you wrote was so important, and if you could just comment on what you wrote in terms of what she didn't mention, in terms of the fact that, you know, the main risk factors for heart disease being smoking, overweight, lack of exercise, diabetes, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, and what you wrote that she didn't mention.
Well, she spoke very generally. And without mentioning anything specific, and these are really nutritional issues.
Yes.
Even in regards to smoking, it's a nutritional issue. You know, the First Lady giving the presidential weekly address, I thought that was kind of odd. We had the Mrs. President speaking, I guess.
Yes.
She mentioned risk factors, but failed to make even one single mention of the overriding and underlying reasons for those risk factors. So actually what I wrote to you, Dr. Carley, was actually just some quick notes that I made. We could spend a whole program just
well,
on this.
Okay.
The first item she listed, smoking. Well, the heart problem that's created by smoking is because of the selenium deficiency that it hyper-creates, because most people have a selenium deficiency anyway if they don't smoke, and smoking hyper-increases that deficiency because cigarette smoke is very high in cadmium, not because cigarettes are normally high in cadmium, but because of all of the additives that are added to cigarettes.
Yeah.
And cadmium is one of those that ends up in there. And cadmium is something that's a heavy metal that the body has no use for and is actually toxic. And the body only has one means by which to deal with cadmium, and that is the mineral selenium, which actually acts as an MP. It literally chemically complexes with cadmium and escorts it out of the body. Now, that's good and bad. The good part is you need to get that cadmium out, because the more cadmium that hangs around, the more problems it creates over the passing of time. The bad part is that selenium is involved in so many vital body functions, and when it has to play MP and escort cadmium out, well, the selenium leaves the body as well, and it can't take care of your thyroid gland, can't protect your heart, can't take care of lipid metabolism or protect your brain and thought processes, not to mention the fact that selenium is the single most cancer-protective nutrient on the planet. Yeah. So that'll give you a little bit of an idea of why cigarette smoking is such a problem for lung cancer. Because besides the burning of the lung tissue, the selenium is removed trying to deal with the cadmium coming in by way of the smoke. That also increases heart disease, since selenium works in two ways in the heart, very vital. One, it protects against damage to the arteries, and you have to have damage to the arteries before you can have blockages occur. So selenium protects against that damage being done to the arteries. If it's not there, then that's one more function that the selenium cannot provide to protect those arteries. Secondly, there's a substance called coenzyme Q10, which the body actually produces by way of selenium. So if you don't have selenium, then you're not producing the coenzyme Q10, which is a primary protector of the heart, a primary empowerer of the heart, and actually of most every cell for production of adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, for the production of energy. So that's why smoking is a risk factor. And so there's so much more useful information if we talked about why smoking is a risk factor. So that's just getting warmed up.
Yes, if I could, I just want to mention, Chris, and that CoQ10 is dramatically decreased in anybody that's taking a statin drug. So that makes another whole level to the problem. Would you agree with that?
Well, yes, absolutely, because the mechanism by which statins artificially lower cholesterol it interferes with the same process that the body uses selenium to produce coenzyme Q10. So even if you're taking selenium and you're taking statin drugs, the selenium, it can still do a lot of other things in the body, but it can't produce coenzyme Q10, because the process by which coenzyme Q10 is produced from selenium is blocked and interfered with by the statin drug. So, which is really comical, because they're using statin drugs to lower cholesterol. And yet, first of all, the true managing agent of cholesterol in the body is chromium. It's a deficiency of chromium that causes a cholesterol problem. And secondly, the using statin drugs to lower cholesterol interferes with that selenium production of coenzyme Q10. So cholesterol is actually more of a boogeyman than an actual problem for heart disease. But using statin drugs to artificially get rid of the boogeyman cholesterol severely impedes a primary protector of the heart, which is coenzyme Q10, because your body can't produce it when you're using statin drugs. And by the way, this is something that is well known by the statin drug industry. In fact, the very first granddaddy of them all, Zocor from Merck, was originally granted with two different patents. They actually patented it in the plain form that everyone knows, Zocor, but at the same time, they also put a patent for Zocor plus coenzyme Q10. So they knew when they first put this monstrous destroyer on the marketplace that it would interfere with coenzyme Q10. But since there was no outcry, since it never came up, they never bothered to enact the second patent, because coenzyme Q10 is not cheap. It actually costs more to produce coenzyme Q10 than it does to produce statin drugs. So since they didn't have to produce it, they didn't. And, you know, it's fascinating. Dr. Julian Whitaker actually hired a team of lawyers and lobbyists and presented all this information to the FDA several years ago. And the FDA took 3 years to get back to Dr. Whitaker's and the team he'd compiled at several, like tens of thousands of dollars to go through all the channels. The FDA didn't deny that the biochemistry and the metabolic pathways that he described. They simply rejected his plea, they rejected his plea on the basis that this really isn't a serious enough problem to bring about further regulatory action. So they admitted what he said was true, they just didn't consider it serious enough. And what he had proposed was either to put a black box warning on statin drugs, that you need to take coenzyme Q10 with this, or to require coenzyme Q10 to be added to every statin drug. And the FDA, again, they took 3 years, actually a little more than 3 years, to get back to him. And they didn't disagree with him. They, as far as the science, they just didn't consider it an important matter to address.
Further proof that they are actually the fatal drug administration. And it's truly amazing, and I want to talk about this amazing article that you published about the 7th of the month, and we'll get into that because that's like that's blatant proof that they could care less about the health of Americans. They're totally controlled by the pharma cartels. But I just want to also have you mention, just to complete this excellent little synopsis that you sent me in terms of magnesium. Why is magnesium also so important? And obviously you consider it really the big three, selenium, chromium, and magnesium for the heart health. Is that correct?
Well, actually the big three would be chromium, selenium, and silicon, but magnesium is really not too far behind all of those, as well as pyridoxal, the vitamin called B6.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because all five of these are significantly removed from whole grains when they make white flour, which the U.S. government made a report 2 years ago that 20% of the standard American diet is white flour. And when you look at that white flour, you find 95% of the silicon has been removed, 92% of the selenium has been removed, 91% of the chromium has been removed, more than 75% of the magnesium has been removed, and greater than half of the pyridoxal has been removed. And yet, if you buy any product of the many that most Americans consume a great deal, the label will say enriched flour.
Huh.
And they'll have some things they've added in, but the form of nutrients, well, I can't even call them nutrients, the chemicals they've added back in and given complex vitamin names to are very few, and it doesn't address any of these most important and powerful nutrients at all. The magnesium is exceedingly important for regulation of the heart rhythm, and in fact, it was documented up in Massachusetts General Hospital, a couple other places up in the Northeast 50 years ago, that they knew if they gave massive infusions of magnesium to those presenting at the emergency room with heart issues, heart attacks, etc., that they had a dramatically improved outcome in those that were given this magnesium infusion. And they were using a lousy form of magnesium. They were using magnesium sulfate, which is very poorly utilized. But even with that, they had dramatic results. So they've known about this for 50 years. They've documented it themselves. It's even been in the news again recently. I don't recall from all the things I read which of the journals it came out of in the last week or two, noting the importance of magnesium to those given to those with heart incidences and the dramatically improved outcomes. So, but this is 50-year-old news they're reporting in the last week or two as news.
And I just want to point out that despite the fact that this was proven so many years ago, this is not taught in medical school. As I've mentioned on the show before, I had 2 years of pharmacological classes and 10 hours of nutrition. And those 10 hours included 4 hours on milk, which is now obviously a toxic poison with all the BGH and the IF2 and all the other chemicals and the pesticides. And it's just, milk is a toxic poison. But we had 4 hours on how important milk is. We had 4 hours on the four basic food groups, which is another scam, and 2 hours on basically vitamins give you expensive urine. So if you think that your white coat or your medical devil, I just got another explanation for MD, and apparently this is what B.J. Palmer used to call the MDs, medical devils, and I love that. And the medical devils have no clue. So you need to go to someone like Chris Barr, who has, you've been studying this for what, about 30 years now, right, Chris?
Well, it covers four decades now since the 1970s.
4 decades, unbelievable. And as I say all the time, Chris has taught me more about nutrition than, than I ever learned in medical school, obviously, but than I could have ever imagined learning, and I'm so grateful to you for that, Chris. And I want to mention one reason, perhaps, why these little deletions are occurring. And this was a real scary article that I saw in the paper Tuesday, February 5th. This is under the World section of the Charlotte Observer. Study, healthier people cost societies more. Now, they're actually reporting in the paper that a study done by the Netherlands National Institute for Public Health and the Environment did a study where they added up how much it costs to treat people that live long, who are obviously healthier, and they decided that it costs more to treat those people than it does to treat the obese and the chronically ill because they kick off sooner. So apparently, it's more economical to have obese, chronically ill people because they're going to die sooner, and this is what their study found.
That's amazing. I'd seen that headline, but hadn't looked into that one yet.
Amazing. That they would report it, that people wouldn't realize that, oh, I guess they like us to be sick because they don't want us to spend more on health, because as people have to start realizing, and I know they are, because they're spending billions of dollars on alternative, quote-unquote, health care, even though it comes out of pocket, because the health care provided by the government, medical, military, industrial complex, of course, is actually death care. They're giving you vaccines and drugs that make you chronically ill and make you sick. And so that's much more expensive than if they had supplements available, such as what you suggest, homeopathy and colloidal silver and all kinds of other natural things. And, of course, people would live longer and be healthy and be able to think. But that's what people have to realize. When they're always complaining about the cost of our health care, that's because health is the last thing they're involved in. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
And one other thing I just want to mention, and we should talk about this great article that you wrote about the 7th of the month, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but this was very chilling to me. There was a insert in one of the, let's see, what's it called, the Parade magazine that comes in most of the papers in this country on Sunday, and it's an advertisement by Sanofi Aventis, one of the main vaccine manufacturers, and they're giving out, and this is the title of it, Important News for People Taking Pills for Type 2 Diabetes. The American Diabetes Association recommends as one approach adding insulin earlier in the treatment plan. So as you've already stated, type 2 diabetes, which is basically a chromium deficiency, all they have to do is give chromium in the first place, and the people will not be diabetic, especially if they get their weight under control and things of that nature. Now they're recommending to give these people insulin. And, of course, what this does is there's a negative feedback effect on the pancreas, and you're basically telling your pancreas, don't even make insulin anymore. You don't need it because we're getting it from an outside source. And this made me ill because this is how you know that they're actually wanting these people to go on even more drugs. And this ties into what you were talking about, which was so amazing that you put all this together, about the drug Cymbalta. Was that the one that caused diabetes as well?
Actually, that was Zyprexa from the same maker.
Zyprexa, right. Yeah, I'm looking at it here. Right, the Zyprexa causes diabetes, and then, you know, the same company that makes Zyprexa, Eli Lilly, makes insulin, and then they give the insulin. I mean, this is totally disgusting. And I had a client call me up last week, a man who was in this situation, a type 2 diabetic, and they put him on insulin, and his blood sugar started skyrocketing because he actually had an allergic reaction to the insulin. This is a foreign protein. You can have an allergic reaction to this just like you can to anything else. So this is just further proof that they are just making people sick on purpose, and they want them to get these chronically ill situations, not only to make lots of money on them, but apparently because they're going to die sooner, and then they can just, you know, start on the next generation making them ill.
Yes, like this Zyprexa from Weli Really, as we prefer to speak of them.
Yes.
Zyprexa, which they're in secret negotiations with the government about abuses and cover-ups involving this drug, which I want to know why the government is in secret negotiations with Weli Really over this.
Yeah.
They've already had $1 billion that they've paid in fines, and another $1 billion is being proposed. This is a drug in which last year they had almost $5 billion in profit, I mean sales, rather, just in 1 year. Well, that drug, one of the problems is it causes diabetes at a dramatically escalating rate in those taking Zyprexa, and it just so happens that Weli Really controls the insulin market as well, another one of their multi-billion-dollar drugs. So they're giving one drug, which isn't a good drug to give. Well, that's kind of redundant to say that. But they're giving one drug that they make billions off of that causes a need for another drug, which they just happen to control the marketplace on and make another several $1 billion a year from.
Yes.
We could talk all day, every day, for weeks and probably months about these types of things. For instance, Rebecca, you mentioned Sanofi Aventis and Pasteur. You may not be aware, because it wasn't reported in this country, but I have in front of me from the Reuters News Service from Paris that from just the other day, French authorities have opened a formal investigation into GlaxoSmithKline and Sanofi Pasteur over a vaccination campaign in the 1990s, and they're even talking about manslaughter charges in regards to the hepatitis B vaccine that was given to two-thirds of the French population from 94 to 98.
Wow. Manslaughter charges. Now we're talking. Okay. Continue,
yeah,
please.
Now, that was a joint venture between Sanofi Aventis and Merck, which it was announced today, just had almost $700 million in fines for bribing doctors to prescribe certain drugs and for overbilling the U.S. government for various drugs. So amazing, they're in bed together, but they really hate it when one partner cheats on the other. So Merck was cheating on the government, now the government's socking it to them. But the question, Dr. Carley, is how come all of these fines to these companies goes to the U.S. government? How does that help the people who've actually been harmed from these things?
Exactly.
For instance, the American Red Cross, those bloodsuckers, more than literally, was just fined $4.6 million. Now, that makes almost $20 million in just the last few years because of not taking proper care that they're required to do of the blood supplies that they manage, of providing shoddy, contaminated blood products. Now, this is a practice that's been documented through 3 decades, and they kept warning them they were going to fine them. It took almost 20 years before they started fining them, and now they continue to have multimillion-dollar fines because the American Red Cross says, okay, we'll fix that, and then they don't. So they fine them again, and they say, okay, we'll fix that, and then they don't, so they fine them again. But the people who have been harmed and even killed from these mistakes, they don't get a nickel of it. The government is collecting all of these $600 million, $700 million, half a billion. That's all going to U.S. government that have approved these drugs in the first place.
Yes. It's purely criminal. It is. And I'm so glad that you're out there putting all these things together, because once people wake up to this fact, they should be getting a little bit angry, because we are not only being damaged by this whole situation, but the taxpayers are funding the Fatal Drugs Administration, Fatal Drugs Allowed. And as you mentioned in your excellent article, of course, big media is involved in it. Anybody that watches Tell Live Vision is going to realize that half of the commercials now are for pharmaceutical products. So how can the media possibly report when these things happen? Because they're not going to get the commercial income that they now get for their, you know, broadcast. So the conflict of interest is beyond overwhelming. It's right in our face. And I don't see how anybody can even not realize this and continue to take these drugs. As a matter of fact, I want to just mention one other shocker that brings it to the next level. A reporter that's been on this show a couple of times by the name of Janet Phelan, who writes for the American's Bulletin, sent me an email. She actually investigated, under CFR 45164.512K. As it turns out, your health information may be disclosed without your knowledge or consent under a catch-all described as protection of the president, which relates to another poison project under Section 817 of the U.S. Patriot Act, which is an umbrella statute. It authorizes a number of poison projects, and the use of these terms in Section 817, listen to this, Chris, authorizes the use of toxins and delivery systems for protection of the president. And in other words, if a flagged person who is a threat to the president, you know, somebody who talks about what the bad president is doing, takes their prescription to a pharmacy, the pharmacist will punch the name into the computer, see the flag, and bingo, that person will get the double or the protecting the president pill. How do you like that one?
Well, just one more reason not to take drugs.
Exactly. Okay, so
we're running out of time,
as we always do. We only got about 14 minutes left, so I definitely want to get into this 7th anniversary that you had sent me. We'll have to do another show on Antoine Bechamp, because he certainly deserves his own show. But if you could just tell the listeners, because I had learned about this initially from you, and this ties into what happened with Heath Ledger, this situation, this anniversary of this young woman that died during a pharmaceutical trial. Could you tell the listeners about that, Chris?
Yes, the 7th of this month is a day which should live in infamy. It was 4 years ago that a young woman in the peak of health, in fact, she was a college student, she was a leader in her church youth group, a teenaged college student, was making some money to get her way through college. She was in what they called a safety trial, which, like everything else in most everything else in modern medicine, they turn the meaning of words upside down and inside out. Because what this, what these safety trials really are, is unsafety trials. It's the last step before a drug gets approved. They have to take healthy people, and for which the drugs are not intended, and give them large amounts to find out what kind of nasty effects will come about on healthy people. And that's a significant part of the danger portion, or the contraindications on the leaflets that so few read anyway.
Uh-huh.
Well, this Tracy Johnson was going to make 7,000, or I think 4,000, 5,000 bucks in about a 6 week period of time. And she didn't make it through, though. You see, she died during this final safety trial. And she hung herself, taking this antidepressant, which now to the world is called Cymbalta, and I propose should be called Cymbalta, as it's on the market by way of blood money. And yes, another multi-billion-dollar annual sales drug for Eli Lilly. And you see, when this young woman hung herself without leaving so much as a suicide note or any indications of any problem at all, drug company officials immediately noted to the press the next day that they did not believe the drug was related to the young woman's death. Now, the hastiness of the company statement didn't sit well with family and friends, and they were very upset. How could they say this when toxicity reports take weeks to come back? Well, the pharmaceutical company spokesman said the drug being studied was, quote, a treatment for stress urinary incontinence and depression. Well, interesting that the final item the spokesman mentioned, depression, was actually the primary purpose for the drug study, though it was mentioned last, almost like it was an afterthought. Well, that at least appears deceptive, but there's more. Factually speaking, the study was for a planned replacement for that company's drug for which their patent was running out. This new drug was projected to take the place of the wildly profitable psychotropic drug Prozac. And now, when this happened, the company assured stockholders that this death would not delay release of the drug. Now, how could they possibly know that a death by suicide in a healthy individual in the midst of this drug trial would not have any delay on release of this drug? How could they know that?
The same way, Chris, that they know that autism is not caused by the measles vaccine, even though it's never had mercury, and in many cases it happens right after it's infected. The same way, basically because they're totally corrupt. But, you know, it is really amazing.
This story really encapsulates all the worst aspects to prove the embeddedness of big government, big pharma, and big media. See,
yes.
The company spokesman for WeLie really immediately noted, and this is a quote now to the news media about Tracy Johnson's death, quote, took place while she was taking sugar pills.
Uh-huh.
Well, that makes it sound like her death had nothing to do with the drug, because,
yeah.
You know, most everybody understands, oh, whenever a drug study is done, they have two groups, one taking the drug and another that's a placebo group taking sugar pills. So this gives the impression, oh, she wasn't taking the drug. She was in the placebo group. Well, the company spokesman didn't reveal the whole truth. You see, one purpose of the drug trial was to test reactions when the drug is stopped. Tracy Johnson was given six times the normal dosage of this antidepressant drug and then quickly weaned off that exceedingly high level over only 4 days.
Wow.
It was on the third day off the overdose level of the drug that Tracy Johnson, a previously happy Bible college student, hung herself, leaving no note. Now, this was right within the period of time that reactions are most expected. Anybody who knows anything about antidepressant medications will always warn, do not cease suddenly taking of this medication. Well, she was on six times the normal dosage on purpose, and they removed her in 4 days off of it, which is exactly when you would see the greatest withdrawal reactions. Well, Dr. Carley, is hanging oneself without suicide note or even so much as a mention a normal occurrence?
No, I don't think so.
Well, the company spokesman told a half-truth, and
right.
Half of a truth is a whole lie.
Yes.
Well, it was slightly more than 6 months later, the FDA announced that the drug named Cymbalta could not be linked to the suicide of Tracy Johnson, and granted approval to the drug for immediate marketing. Oh, by the way, the FDA declined to release written documentation of its investigation. Well, that's the polite way they put it. They declined. I'd say they refused to release such documentation. And Cymbalta may be a more appropriate name for that variety of this drug. We could go on this. The giant New York Times is credited with breaking the news on teenaged suicide links to antidepressants, even though their story came out several days after my own column written on the same matter. fact, my editor called me up when the New York Times story broke and said, hey, are they reading our paper?
Obviously,
although
so.
There's a big difference, because the New York Times story made no mention of Tracy Johnson in
yes.
their piece. And then sometime later, the New York Times even lauded Eli Lilly for forthrightness regarding study details on antidepressant clinical trials.
Oh,
yet
God.
Tracy Johnson and others are not included in that forthrightness of study
yes.
details.
And I just have to say, this is what they always do. They delete the people from the study group for any excuse that they want to when they're doing their report to the FDA. And it makes you wonder, like, why do they even bother? Why even put these guinea pigs through the torture? Why don't they just go into a room and just make stuff up, you know? Just invent things, and then at least the guinea pigs won't be made sick. Of course, then the drug will be released on the public, but... that's what people have to realize. And in certain cases, like on the use of these drugs in children, they admit that they've never studied the drugs in the children, the psychiatric drugs. So, of course, the children being given the drugs now are the study group. They are the guinea pigs. And yet the FDA allows all this garbage to happen. But I just want to ask, I heard the station come on. Do we have a caller? Okay, I guess not. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. All right. Well, Chris, we're running out of time. Do you have any closing thoughts? Because I want you to remember to give out your radio show information. Is there any way that the listeners can listen to the radio shows that you're on?
Some. I'd like to note real briefly why I refer to the unholy trinity of
yes.
big government, big pharma, and big media, as they act together as one for their own vested interests without regard for the very best interests of you and yours, making them an unholy trinity. And especially in this case, especially on this day, I just wanted to note, Dr. Carley, mourn America for Tracy Johnson and for the vast majority of Americans deluded in a pharmaceutical gulag of fantasy rather than being firmly based in reality. As for me, they can again go to the notadoc.org website. They can send an email. You know, my daily radio broadcast, Voice of Change, is in throughout the Ozarks. It covers several states. And they probably can't pick that one up.
Well,
however, I am
everywhere.
I am a frequent guest on the Robert Scott Bell radio show, which is on every Sunday from 1 to 4 Eastern time, and they can go to the rsbell.com website to find out how to listen to that broadcast over the Internet if it's not on in their local area.
Yes, and I just want to give a plug for Robert Scott Bell. I've been on his show as well, and he's probably one of the most, as far as the quote-unquote mainstream media goes, thank God he's out there. It's really, truly amazing that he's able to get the information that he gives out to the audience that he has, considering the fact that he is on so many mainstream stations. So that's a good sign, you know, that people are hungry for the truth, and obviously he gets such excellent reviews from his listeners, and if enough of you people will start demanding the quote-unquote mainstream start covering the truth. For example, I just sent out a blast that somebody had sent me this story about the two whistleblowing reporters, journalists for the Fox News that had tried to put out the truth about Monsanto's bovine growth hormone and how it was actually causing cancer, and they were basically fired for insisting that the truth be broadcast, and they brought a federal suit under the whistleblower statute, and the appellate court basically ruled in favor of Fox News and said that Fox News has the right to lie to the public. And if this doesn't shock people's conscience, I don't know what will. So people really need to start demanding, asking hard questions when they put out these bogus stories. You know, ask hard questions. You know, basically send them emails and demand that they hear the other side from people like Chris and myself when they're talking about these issues and vaccines and such. So I want to thank you so much, Chris. I'm so glad that you're out there as the voice of truth and doing what you do. And we'll have to do another show when you're available on Antoine Bachamp, but I do want to mention that Chris is going to be on my show on the Republican Broadcasting Station, republicanbroadcast.org, next Wednesday for part of the show after he gets done with his show. So thank you again, Chris, for being on with me tonight, and I would like to have you on a regular basis. You're such a wealth of knowledge, and continue to do your good work.
Thank you, Dr. Carley. Always a privilege and an honor to be on the air with you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks, and we'll see you next week. Good night.